This podcast has been brought to you by KMP Books and Audio. Use code KPDREA40 to get 40% off your first subscription to their book club. Now, back to our podcast episode. Hello everyone, and welcome to A History of Sound. Today's episode is entitled The Caribbean Influence on Mardi Gras Indian. Today we'll be analyzing an interview done by Big Chief Larry Bannock and how the Caribbean has shaped the Mardi Gras Indian sound. We'll also be discussing how their use of signals and deciphering play a part in what they do. The Mardi Gras Indians, or Black Masking Indian, is a tradition that stemmed from exclusion, hatred, and alliance from the days of slavery. When African Americans were excluded from participating in Mardi Gras celebrations with their white counterparts, they decided to pay homage to Native Americans for their help in hiding and aiding their ancestors to escape slavery. Although there are no genetic ties between the two groups, the love has transformed into a beautiful celebration with a very colorful history. Chief Larry Bannock is an essential member of the Mardi Gras Indian tradition. He began masking as a spy boy, a person who goes before the chief to check for danger, in 1972. He became Big Chief in 1979 of the Indian gang called the Golden Star Hunters. He is mostly known for his original handcrafted regalia and suits. He would also teach others how to craft as well. Before we dive deeper into this episode, here's another word from our sponsors. Have you ever spilled something on a couch or a rug that you just can't seem to get out? Call JE Cleaners & Co. They provide their customers with quality care and they'll treat you like family. Use code SCRUB20 to get $20 off your first service. Now, back to our episode. Now, you may be wondering, what does this have to do with sound? Well, let me tell you. Every year during Mardi Gras, the Black Masking Indians take to the streets to show off not only their beautiful suits, but their vocals as well. R. Murray Schafer's term of signals is very present in their parades. He defines the term as foreground sounds, and they are listened to consciously. We hear signals for things all the time, but I think that sometimes we may be too lost in the hustle and bustle of our daily lives to fully acknowledge them, but we know they're there. For instance, first responder and police sirens. We hear these all the time, but we don't acknowledge them every time we hear them. Why do you think that is? For me, it's because I know they are part of life. I cannot actively remember the first time I heard one, but now that I'm 20 years old, they're kind of second nature to me. One could say that it's inevitable. However, my question is, would you care more and try to put more active listening into these signals if you heard them less? For me, growing up in a rural area meant that I didn't hear them as often as someone in an urban area would. So when I do hear one, I pause for a moment. Make sure to write in and tell me your thoughts on this. Another notable signal is the sound of our phone notifications. It signals us and directs our attention to whatever is trying to be conveyed. An example of a signal from the interview is when Bannock tells the interviewer, Cam Morrell, of the University of Washington, that the Indian song, Ma Day Kuti Fayo, is to signal the Indians to pray. He also tells her of other signals for things such as rival Indian gangs, danger, Big Chief entry, and just people wanting to fight or get a little rowdy for the crowds that they attract. He also tells Morrell about some of the maybe non-verbal signals that they put on. He says that when you see Indians go to playing, and go into the ground when he's bent halfway down, and he's waving the ground. It's like he's spreading a tablecloth of blood. This was to let the rival Indian gangs know that there was going to be conflict or trouble. Another representation of conflict is when an Indian takes his handkerchief out and throws it on the ground. We can use interviews and the Mardi Gras Indian tradition to help us to be able to interpret sounds and their meanings. Theorist Roland Barthes developed 3 defining terms for how we listen to sound. The one that can be applied here is his term of deciphering. One definition of deciphering that can be found in Barthes' text is to adopt an attitude of decoding what is obscure, blurred, or mute in order to make available to consciousness the underside of meaning. The black masking Indians use deciphering for many reasons. One, to decipher song lyrics. So, this means they want to know if the rival Indian gang is coming as a means of friendship or they're coming to start a fight. And number 2, dances and body language. This is also for deciphering or decoding whether they're coming just as playful and wanting to have a good time with them or if they want to start a fight. These are just a few ways that the Mardi Gras Indians use deciphering. We might use deciphering for many reasons as well, including to decipher baby sounds. So in order to be able to understand whether the baby is hungry, whether they need to be changed, or whether they just want to play. And 2, animal sounds. We can decipher whether the animal we're hearing is a raccoon or a bear or a dog, and we can be able to decipher whether they are friendly or if they're about to attack. During this interview, Morel uses deciphering to gain insight into different aspects of the tradition, including their outfits, the origins, and the meaning of their songs. Morel tries to decipher what different aspects of the tradition are really about. One thing that does not need to be deciphered is the immense pride and love for masking shown by Bannock. Now I'm going to play you a clip of an interview that Bannock did where he shows his immense pride for his tradition.
As chief of the Golden Star Hunters, he has to compete with other chiefs to produce the most stunning new outfit each year.
All the requirement to be an Indian is worn a suit and to use your imagination to the boundaries. So you try and make patches that are special to you, you know? Like, I took this one, which was just a star. Took and put a hatchet and a peace pipe. A symbol for war, symbol for peace, but a star. As high as you can go in the elements, you'll never get higher than a star. You know, so you're always trying to give an idea of keeping in line with the Indian culture, you know, the red man culture. You're not trying to inject a whole lot of ideas or different things that doesn't really relate to Indians. So, you know, you got to feel it. Indian suit, again, is the word that describes Indian suit is called passion and desire. You got to have that desire to want a suit. A lot of people want a mask, but they got few would even take the time to sit down and sew. Because you're looking at maybe 3-4 hours a night, you know? You got to work, you got to take care of your house, you got other things you have to do, but you be trying to put all that aside for Mardi Gras. I don't have no wife, you know? I don't think no one would really put up with this. But this is what keep Mardi Gras going. It's like the people in the like they call them the grassroots people or the people in the neighborhoods, you know, whatever. But it's the people working together, sewing and doing what they feel.
Now we'll have a word from our sponsors. Mardi Gras. We'll be here again before you know it. So come on down to Miss LaRose for your one-stop Mardi Gras shop. Ply needs. Use code AK45 to get 45% off all feathers, beads, sewing materials, etc. Miss LaRoe wouldn't have it any other way, baby. Now back to the podcast. The Caribbean and others in the African diaspora have a huge influence on those around the world, especially when it comes to the Mardi Gras and Black Masking Indian tradition. Traces of Afro-Caribbean influence are seen all over. Its influence on the Mardi Gras Indian sound and how we view that sound cannot be missed. Terms like the signal and the use of the theory of deciphering truly help us to understand and break down these sounds. It also helps us to appreciate the Afro-Caribbean influence more. The history of their sound is one that will be celebrated for centuries to come. Thank you for listening to this podcast. It's your host, Audrea K., signing off.